All right, Bert, thanks so much for being with us here once again, and I really appreciate you taking some time to talk about your book, The Heart of Catholicism. I'd like to ask a few questions about the book and just a little bit about yourself as well and your background. So if you don't mind, before we get started, you've been a prolific author for years and author of a number of Catholic books and an editor of Catholic books. Just want to know, what got you started in this profession as a writer and editor?
Well, it's a leading question, and it involves part of my background. My wife and I were early responders to the Catholic, what has come to be called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And after we were baptized in the Spirit, we moved to Michigan, where I taught at Grand Valley State University for 7 years. And while I was there, I was one of the national leaders of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal movement. One day in 1974, I heard the Holy Spirit leading me to leave teaching and go to work in Ann Arbor at New Covenant Magazine, which was the lead into the publishing business. And a month later, I decided to wait to see if that was really the Holy Spirit. A month later, I was invited by the leaders of Ann Arbor to come and do that, which after a lot of discernment, which is what we did. So I became the editor of New Covenant Magazine for 11 years, and also was the founding editor of book publishing at Servant Publications, where I stayed, where I worked for 11 years. What I was doing there was editing the magazine and acquiring books for Servant, and then also writing my own books. So I started writing in 1975. I wrote a book called Build with the Lord, which was a book about how to build prayer groups. And it was probably one of my first two books, one of my best sellers. This book sold 55,000 copies. Was a shaping influence on prayer groups and the charismatic movement. My second book was called The Angry Christian, and it sold 60,000 copies, and everything's been downward since that time.
Yeah. We'll blame that on just publishing in general and not your expertise.
It was because the charismatic renewal bought those books like hotcakes. Now, since that time, I've worked in four or five other publishing companies, acquiring books and writing books at the same time. So that's a little sketch.
Bert, just out of curiosity, I mean, that was you're very there at the very beginning of a time when there's a charismatic renewal was so important to the church and very kind of vibrant here in the Midwest for sure. How has that influence shaped your own spirituality today?
Well, it actually it has it trans the being baptized in the Spirit, which is the release of the Holy Spirit at the in your in my life, which is something that more than 120 million Catholics have done around the world since that time. Really, it shaped my life. It changed. It opened did two things in particular. One or three, it released me from a long time of depression, and set me on a more joyous Catholic life. Secondly, yielding to the charismatic gifts, especially praying in tongues, taught me how to yield the spiritual gifts, which I use in my work. That is, I believe I have a gift for encouragement in words, in writing, and speaking. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit works in that. And it taught me how to pray. I really, it opened me to a full experience of prayer. And I've written a number of books about prayer. So it's my life was transformed by it, and my wife's too. So it's been a very a long and happy experience.
Good. Just before we can move towards the book a little bit now too, The Heart of Catholicism is a book I think that, at least from my perspective, it's unique because it focuses on the habits, not just the beliefs that we have as Catholics. Can you explain a little bit about maybe connecting the two? How is that your own spirituality influenced the way that approach to Catholicism in general?
Well, I think that the Catholics really love the doctrines of the faith, and we admire them and love them and hold to them, but they really don't shape us until we put them into practice. And I learned that quite young because I believe Catholicism and the faith is caught more than taught. And when I was a college student, I began to associate with a number of really committed young Catholics and professors, and they, by the way they were living their faith, they taught me how to pray. They taught me how to do evangel. They showed me how to evangelize. They showed me how to defend the faith. They showed me how to build community and relationships. So all those are the kinds of things that I learned in my early experience, and then it was reinforced by such things as the Cursillo, which taught me more about these habits, especially habits like prayer, study of scripture, being in community, reaching out to others in evangelization. So for my most of my time as a Catholic writer, as a Catholic Christian, as a speaker, those items really shaped me and formed me. And I, if you look at my books, most of them are about, you know, these practices and these elements, really. I sometimes say to people, well, I've only written one book. It's about prayer, study, community, and service. And they pop up everywhere.
That's great.
So the Heart of Catholicism really embodies a lot of my life experience. I explain that in the introduction to the book, actually. I explain how through my life I learned about all the elements I talk about in the book.
I love the phrase you said there, that faith, that just our faith is kind of caught more than it's taught. And that's so true, I think, for most people's experience that are really passionately Catholic, passionately Christian. You mentioned that this book is kind of growing on your own experience. What are some of the habits that you have personally today that influence others, that people are catching from you, so to speak?
Well, to give you a picture of a day, for example, I pray in the morning and study scripture every day. And as part of my prayer time, I always renew my commitment to the Lord. I go to daily mass. I'm very active in my parish on the Faith Formation Commission and on the evangelization team. So in one way or another, I try to embody all these practices. But the key ones are, I believe the key ones are prayer, study, both scripture and spiritual reading, and, you know, and keeping in touch with what's happening contemporarily, being a part of a community of faith, and service, which involves both evangelization and serving and Catholic social justice. And I believe if a Catholic practices those in particular, they really are shaping their identity very well.
And those are all part of the book that we're talking about today, The Heart of Catholicism.
Yeah.
I just want to delve in a little bit of your own practice. One thing you mentioned that I thought was interesting, you said you daily recommit yourself to the Lord. Is that a prayer that you say, or how does that take shape in your prayer life?
Well, it's spontaneous. When I'm praying, I will say, well, you know, I do it in various kinds of ways. One of the ways I do it is I believe the sign of the cross, when you make it, is a pledge of discipleship. So when I'll sign myself with the cross and say, Lord, you know I'm your disciple. I want to know you like you know me, love you as you love me, serve you as you serve me, and obey you as you obey your Father. So there are various ways to do that. So sometimes I just tell him I really love you and I want to follow you. You know I'm committed to doing what you want me to do. I surrender to you. I say things like that. I mean, so it's just a daily opportunity to renew my commitment to the Lord. I believe Catholics should do it every day.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I'm just, you know, what do you think? Why do you think it's so hard for us to do? Why do you think it's so hard for us to remember to make that daily commitment?
Well, I think once you start doing it, you should do it. You know, it's like the morning offering, you know.
Yeah.
You can do it with a morning offering, and it's something that Father Larry Richards, who was one of my heroes.
That's a great guy.
Uses the prayer of Saint Charles de Foucauld, which you can find in most online. And he says, you know, it's a prayer of surrender. People should. I think people should do it, and once they start doing it, it'll catch on.
I think that kind of goes back to this idea of making, you know, spirituality a habit, not just a belief. you know, once we start doing it, it really takes shape and we kind of feel the effects of it. What kind of advice would you have to somebody who is a novice, maybe in the RCIA or maybe just having a conversion? They want to have a kind of a daily spiritual practice. You know, how would you suggest that they really get started and not lose that habit as a part of their daily life?
Well, I think the key thing is prayer and reading scripture. And I would say this to a novice, that's where you begin. And you have to actually decide to do it. That is, I'm going to decide a time and a place where I'm going to be taking time to pray. And it needs to be prime time, the best time of your day. My best time is first thing in the morning. My wife's best time is late in the evening. So we do our personal praying at different points. But it has to be a decision, and it can't just be trying. You can't. I have a son who has told me he's trying to pray every day. And I say, well, son, do you try to have breakfast? Do you try to have lunch? Do you try to have dinner? Well, you can't just try. You've got to do it. And so you have to have a regular time, and you have to be faithful to it. And you have to have a place where you can pray without interruption, if at all possible. So there needs to be a time and a place. And you need, that's my best advice to a novice would be, okay, set aside 15 minutes to pray and read scripture every day. Good time, good place. And as you begin doing it, after a month, it probably should become a habit.
Okay, I like that. Great advice. Absolutely, I love the analogy of going having meals versus prayer time. Why, if we schedule meals, we eat every day. Why wouldn't we pray every day?
Well, it's also, you know, it's more important. It's spiritual nourishment. It's more
absolutely
bodily nourishment, really.
Speaking of what you mentioned, also just briefly, that you go to daily mass. That's a big part of your spirituality. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What's the value of going to daily mass and not just, you know, once a week on Sundays?
Well, because the daily mass allows me at mass to participate in offering the Lord's eternal sacrifice. It's one of the greatest privileges we have as Catholics, because when you go to mass, you're not just in the audience; you are actually part of the body of Christ. He is representing his eternal sacrifice, and the way the liturgy works, we as Catholics, as baptized Catholics, get to share in that offering. So we're offering ourselves with the bread and wine that have become the body and blood of Christ. So it's an enormous privilege to do it. So that's why I do it. But you know, a lot of people can't, because of work schedules, can't do that. But I'm semi-retired, so I can do it. I wasn't able to go to daily mass when I was all my life. I did it when I was a student at Notre Dame. I did it, and I've only been able to do it here in Florida when I was able to work at my home. You know, I work at the house, and so I can go to mass and come back and do my work at home. But a lot of folks really can't do that. So the great privilege is, you know, because of my situation, I can do it. And it's really an extraordinary blessing and opportunity.
Good.
I write about that in the book, actually. So people, about the importance of participating in the mass.
Good.
And actually, we have another book coming, by the way. It's called
yeah.
The Power of Daily Mass. And I talk about, I give the whole book is a proclamation of the great power and value of daily mass. It's coming out next year in January.
We're looking forward to that book for sure. One last couple of questions I got. One is, you did a webinar for us earlier this year, and you, at least for me as the moderator, you said something about evangelization that was just very, very powerful. And it kind of goes along with that idea of caught more than taught. Can you kind of recount for us a little bit, what's in your experience, what's the best way to evangelize those people who've fallen away from the church or maybe disconnected from their religion?
That's an important question. I believe, first of all, we should be praying every day for people that we know and love who are inactively Catholic or who are distant from the church, even for anybody in our environment, actually. Prayer is the most important thing. If you read Pope Paul VI on evangelization in the modern world, prayer is the key to all evangelization. So praying in particular for people, praying that they will, you know, be open to the Lord and turn and be able to turn their heart to Him. Secondly, I say When if somebody has left the church and you know them and they're a relative, a child, or a parent, or a friend, you should love them and express your love in various ways. One, by doing things to serve them, by listening to them when they talk, by not being critical of them for their decisions. You know, a parent could say to somebody, "Well, if you've been going to Mass, you wouldn't have those problems." Well, you have to avoid saying things like that. You have to be affectionate and serving. You should be inviting when there's an opportunity in the like if your parish has some kind of activity that's non-threatening, you invite them to come with you, say to a parish festival or to an event in the parish. Like our parish shows regular movies, or our parish has opportunities to that are really open and non-threatening. I try to invite people to those. So you and then when you have a chance to, you can when you have an opportunity to talk, you can speak in a positive way with them about their concerns, especially if they ask questions. So prayer, affection and love, service, invitation, and conversation. Those are the activities I think you do in a way that's non-threatening to people who've left the church or who are inactive in the church.
Good. Thanks, Bert. One last question about maybe you get a little insight into your outlook on the church today. It's kind of an exciting time to be Catholic, and just with your experience and maybe so a little insight, what do you think the church is headed in the years ahead?
You know, I don't really have a prophetic insight to things here. I'm by training an historian, and I know that over the centuries the church has gone through really challenging times. You know, there was a time back in the 15th century when there were three popes. Can you imagine that? There were times when the church has gone through such things as World War II. And, I mean, there have just been enormous difficulties and challenges. And we face them now. We face, you know, the recovery from the priest sex scandal. We face militant Islam. We face an aging population and people and the young people not being attracted fast enough to the church. We face the crisis with many of the priests retiring faster than they're being replaced by new seminarians. These are challenges that and it's going to go for over the century. But I believe that the church is in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It's God's church, and I believe that He is for 2,000 years and more has gotten us through great crises. And He will get us through whatever crises we face in the future. One of my favorite stories about Pope John the 23rd, who had called the Vatican Council, he faced huge problems as well. And at nighttime, he'd say, "Lord, I worked all day. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. It's your church." And I believe that's how we should behave. We should say, We should do what we can one-on-one as individual Catholics to manifest our faith in our behavior, practice our habits, pray for the church, but entrust it to God's hands because He'll get us through. I have no way of knowing what's going to happen. I do know that God's going to get us through.
Thank you. That brings a lot of hope. Thanks so much for taking the time around your busy day to talk this through and talk about your book, The Heart of Catholicism, and just your own story as well. So I appreciate it, and keep up the great work. We're looking forward to more from you in the future.
Well, I enjoyed being with you, Jared. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bert.
Bye-bye.